I made my commitment 1980, 30th of June, I suddenly had to realise that I've got to hope in somebody else. And the thing that I found over these years as a Christian is that God has never let me down. That I've hoped and I've held on to Him, and God hasn't let me down, ever let me down. And that's brilliant, because that's who God is. And some people say, well, yes, of course, you're a Christian now, so everything's wonderful, isn't it? It's like a bed of roses being a Christian. Well, it isn't. It was always described to me that the Christian life is like a rose. It looks nice, it can smell beautiful, but when you grab it, there's thorns. And you know, even as a Christian, life has got thorns, hasn't it? We face issues and difficulties. And as a family, we've had issues, and we've shared some of those issues with us. We've had issues with health. We've had issues where Linda and I divorced and remarried. And now we face issues with members of the family not even talking to each other, won't be in the same room as each other. And we have to deal with that. But God doesn't let us down. We hang on to God, and God gives us the comfort. God gives us the joy of being part of His family. And so, like it or not, I'm part of your family. Because we hope in Christ, not in ourselves, not in the goodness of our bank accounts, not in the jobs that we have, or the families that we're in. We hope in Christ. And here's a short story for children. How many children are there? You're not a child now, you're almost a young man. Yes, childish. Here's a good talk. It didn't just fly off. So today we're looking at the first part of our Advent, and we're starting with hope. In general terms, Advent means the coming, and as Christians we associate that, of course, with the coming of Jesus. Now, Bill's not here this morning, so he won't be able to correct me on my Greek and Hebrew, which is really good, because I get my Greek and Hebrew from Google. So here we go. But there is this sort of beautiful subtlety between the Latin word Adventus and the Greek word parousia. There you go. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. You're not supposed to clap there, really. But they capture for us the essence of Advent. The Latin word Adventus sort of conveys a sense of movement and anticipation, emphasizing Christ's journey towards us. And in contrast, the Greek parousia highlights Christ's abiding presence, showing us His constant closeness, His availability to us. And you know, this distinction between approaching and abiding presence adds a depth of richness to our understanding of what Advent is. It's not just about waiting for Christ to arrive, but it's also about recognizing His enduring presence in our lives today. Advent invites us to open our hearts and our lives to the anticipation of Christ's coming and that gratitude of His constant companionship. This closeness that we have with Christ, I believe, is comforting. I remember many years ago, my mum spent a long time in Coney Hill Hospital in Gloucester after the birth of my sister. I remember on visiting days sat with her in the waiting room, and she would say, "Duncan, I'm close to you, but I'm trying hard to get closer." As a 10-year-old, that was really comforting, and I've never forgotten how that felt. And you know, when it comes to Advent and the closeness of Christ, I get that warm security that He is with me no matter what. And you know what? That gives me hope. And that's what we're focusing today, hope. You know, the Bible talks a lot about hope, and we could be here for a whole month of Sundays, can't we, Matt? Yes. Well, Matt's on the speaker team, so I thought, you know, you just looking forward to that series of hope that's going to come. But we could talk for a month of Sundays on hope. You know, Vanessa read to us the story of Simeon. Now, Simeon was a man who lived in hope, the hope of seeing the Messiah before his death. He longed for that Messiah to come. And he was given this hope by the Holy Spirit, which for him wasn't just some vague, wishy-washy thing. It was a cast iron certainty. So for him, he waited and he watched, contented that he would hold the Messiah in his hands before he died. Of course, we all know about hope, don't we? We live with hope all the time, every day. We hope the weather's going to be nice for our holiday. Kev hopes United is going to do the treble again. The kids hope that the tests on Monday will be easy. And as we've already been reminded, we hope the doctor will have good news for us. I remember hoping, sat in my neighbour's house at 11 years old, hoping they were wrong and Mum would still be there in the morning. We hope, and often we hurt. Oh, Duncan, give us something cheerful for Advent, please. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. The bit I want is right at the very end, but it's good to read the chapter. It's good to read verses around it, isn't it? Rather than just taking a verse on its own. And this is Hebrews chapter 6. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and will multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in their disputes, an oath is a final confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to his heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor to the soul, a hope that Jesus enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Verse 19 gives us that sense of a sure and steadfast hope. In some versions, it's a sure and certain hope. You know, for most of my working life, I've been in the quality assurance field, which helps me actually to understand verse 19 really well. Often I get asked the question, "Are you sure this is in spec?" And I ponder and think, yes, I know they've got a good process. I know they wouldn't send anything out of spec. Ah, so you're certain then? Oh, no, hang on. Certain is not sure. I'm not certain until I've measured it. So how can we be sure and certain about hope? We can only be sure and certain if we place our hope in something that is measured and proven, something trusted and dependable. And that is Jesus in a nutshell, isn't it? Thank you. It is. The Hebrews 6:19 passage shows us Jesus' role as our high priest, that unshakable, unmovable hope that we can have in him. That's hope, isn't it? Paul in Hebrews compares our hope in Jesus to this anchor for our souls, emphasizing stability and a steadfast nature. This, you know, resonates deeply, especially those who go through difficulty and are facing problems. Just like an anchor keeps a ship from drifting in rough waters, our hope in Jesus keeps us grounded and steadfast during life's storms. Sometimes we find that we are drifting in life, don't we? Well, I do. But it's good to know that we have that hope in Jesus. It's good to know that hope that we have in Jesus. That's what this Advent hope is all about. It's all about Jesus. That firm stability in our lives. This Advent, this is the hope we're thinking about this morning. And I, for one, am going to hold on to that hope for all I'm worth. Are you? You know, we shouldn't be fooled into believing hope is some sort of vague feeling that we get. Oh, I hope I'll win the lottery. When God talks about hope, he talks about promise and certainty. It's about trust and reliability. And where do we find those things? In Christ. When God promised Simeon that he'd see the Messiah before he died, that was a cast iron promise. A cast iron promise. Hebrews reminds us that hope is an assurance, which is a guarantee, and encourages us that hope is the anchor for our souls. It keeps us anchored to God. And that's important, isn't it? That we anchor ourselves into something that is dependable, and we put our hope not in ourselves, not in our positions, but we put ourselves, our hope, in Christ, don't we? That's what this candle is telling us as light fills this room. That is the hope filling our hearts, I hope. I love Psalm 42. Psalm 42 has been a song, it's been a play, it's been all sorts of things. And we have this image, don't we, of this majestic deer. You know, just imagine out in the forest somewhere, you see this wonderful stag with the horns, radiant and grand. But this isn't the deer here that David's talking about. This is a deer that's been run to the end of his life almost, panting and puffing. As a deer pants for the flowing stream, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, ha, 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 where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How would I go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival? Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I remember you. And from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Moriah, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of my enemies. As with deadly wounded in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. And while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. So, hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my God and my Saviour. That's a beautiful passage of scripture. It powerfully reminds us that even in our darkest moments, there is always hope to be found. Isn't there? And yes, life hurts. Life can be painful. And I know that we're all going to be standing with Kerri-Ann and Wayne's family at this critical time. But life does hurt. But there's always hope in God. You know, for some Christians, for some of us, sorry, Christmas isn't just jingle bells and carols in church and family time. Christmas can be lonely, it can be sad, it can go by in a blur of disappointment. And as a church and as Christians, we need to recognize this, that not everyone feels the joys at Christmas that we feel. David was clearly going through a difficult time. He's feeling down and discouraged, and he's questioning why God has abandoned him. But even during this despair, he never gives up hope. He never gives up hope. He knows that God is his salvation, and he clings to that hope with all his might. This is the message that we need to hear. There will be times in our lives when we feel down and discouraged. But we must remember God is always with us and he will never forsake us. We can always hope in him, no matter how dark things seem. Verse 43 is our focus, isn't it? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let me get my phone out. One of my favourite passages, found in Habakkuk. I like Habakkuk. It's a good book, Habakkuk. If I had a son, he would have been called Habakkuk. I haven't discussed that with Linda yet, so hopefully whoever puts this out can just cut that a little bit. But here's Habakkuk. Okay? I want you to think about what's going on in this verse. Even though the fig tree have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and bare, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me sure-footed as the deer, able to tread upon the heights. Yet, did you see what was going on there? Famine to a huge extent. Breakdown of society. Yet, I will still praise the Lord. You know, I can remember when Linda and I were going through a really tough time. Something had happened, and It was painful. We'd lost a baby, and someone came to us and said, all things work for good for those that love Christ Jesus. And you know my first response was? Oh, that's... Yes. But you know that verse was right? Because not long after that, Linda met Margaret, who she's over there, who Margaret taught Linda all about childcare. And then Linda started working with children. And she would come home and she would say, I've had a mum come to me with a loss. And they said to me, I can't cope. And Lynn was able to say, well, that happened to me. And this is how I coped, by holding on to God. You see, even in the darkest times, we can hope in God. It doesn't mean to say that we don't remember those things that are hurtful, or don't recognize what we're going through is painful. We don't gloss it over and say, oh yes, but it'll be wonderful. Sometimes it isn't. But the hope in God, our anchor, will stay firm if we stay in God. And I know that, you know, telling you that today is hard when you're going through stuff. We've faced it as a family. You know, we've had to sit in front of the children and say honest things about how life is. And God has been with us every step of the way. We've been able to anchor ourselves in God. And that's what we need to do. As we look at that candle, we're putting our hope in God. Not in the situation around us, not in who we are, as wonderful as you are, but it's in God. That's why we have hope. And you know, it's no accident that the first candle that we've lit is hope, is it? Because without hope, how can we ever engage with love and peace and joy where we don't have hope? This Advent season, we're reminded the only place for sure and certain hope is Jesus. That's what I want you to think about as you go out of these doors today. Whatever else we have hope in can fail us. The weather, our jobs, our bank account, our relationships, they can all fail, but Jesus can't. And that's important for us to remember. Put your hope in something that is dependable. And that's not just a phrase that we just chuck out in church and you nod and say, yeah, very, very good, and off you go. But actually, I need to do life now. That's something we want you to hold on to and grab hold of. And it may be that today you need someone to stand with you. So let us stand with you. That's what we want to do as a church, to stand with each other. And it may be today you just need someone to sit with you. So come and find us and we'll sit with you. Maybe it is you need someone to just pray with you. Something that has been gnawing inside you, you just want to release it, and you just feel you just can't release that. Then let us pray with you and take that journey with you. So, as we start this Advent season, let us hold on to the comfort of Christ's abiding presence, his constant closeness and availability, as we realize there's no other truer hope than to hope in Jesus. God is always with you. You may not feel like it, but God is always with you. That's the promise he made, didn't he? He never ever promised us that life would be a bed of roses. It will be all cushy. He promised us that we will go through pain and difficulty, but he also said, I will never leave you. You know, and as a 10-year-old, that was important for me. I let my anger get the better of me until I was a good bit older, until I was slammed down hard and Jesus met me there and then. But we need to have that hope in Christ. Father God, we realize that without you, life would be impossible. That you are the hope that we anchor in the storms of our lives. You are the hope, Lord, that we can trust. You are the hope that's with us when things are brilliant and great and we're celebrating and life is just absolutely the best it can be. And we thank you for those times where you give us the best times, because that just stirs our hearts and it makes us glad. And you are in the middle of that, in that hope. When life comes crashing down and things around us get really real, there's no more reality than the hope that we can have in you as that anchor and stay in our lives. May we trust in you, Lord. In your precious name, amen.